Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to be here. Good morning. It's good to be here. Man, it's good to be here. Well, I'd like to let you know that I got the short end of the straw on the whole singing deal. I got Dad's gene off that one. Three things I need to let you know. One, if you think Dad walks around a lot while he's up here, you're in for a treat, because I prance all over this thing. I might be on the second row here before too long. Secondly, I specifically prepared to preach shorter than Dad normally does. So if I run long, it's not my fault. You can't blame me. And number three is a little more serious. But Luke Dawson has nothing good to say to you this morning. And you're thinking, oh no, my toes. No, not that at all. Luke Dawson, as a human, has no good message to proclaim to you. I have no message of hope. I have no message of joy, and I have no message of salvation. But I can point you to the one who has that message. And that's what I'm going to attempt to do this morning through God's will. So let's pray this morning. Dear Lord, God, we come to you in your holy place, in your sanctuary. Lord, we want to see you. That's why we're here. We want to see you through your word. Lord, we love you. We thank you and we praise you. God, I pray that your words would be spoken here today. God, I pray that you would take the messenger out of the equation so that the message could be heard. Lord, if there's anything in this room that would distract us right now from hearing what you have to say to us, Lord, please remove it. We thank you and we dedicate this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 48. Genesis chapter 48 is where we'll begin. Genesis chapter 48. Genesis is the first book of the Bible. I hope we all know that. Genesis is the first book of the Bible, and we're skipping all the way to chapter 48. So I think we need to run down the first 47 chapters of Genesis, and we're going to do it in about 2 to 3 minutes. So hold your breath. It's going to be quick. God created this place called the Garden of Eden. And in the Garden of Eden, he created every plant and every animal that we see here today. He also created two people, one named Adam and one named Eve, one a man and one a woman. And in the Garden of Eden, God walked with Adam and he walked with Eve. He had a relationship much similar to the relationship that you and I have today. They walked, they talked, they communicated simply as you and I are right now. Well, Adam and Eve messed up and disobeyed God. And since they disobeyed God, they could no longer have this same relationship that they had with God. So God had to kick them out of the Garden of Eden. And Adam and Eve had kids, and their kids had kids, and their kids had kids, and their kids had kids. And they continually became more and more evil with each generation. Well, eventually it got so bad that God was like, hey, we need to do something. So he found one righteous man in his family named Noah. And he destroyed the rest of the world with a flood. Well, Noah had kids, and his kids had kids, and his kids had kids. And we jump to this character named Abraham. Surely you've heard of him. Abraham was the first character in the Bible that God specifically said, hey, follow me, and you don't know where you're going. And Abraham, like a crazy man, said, sure, let's do it. So Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob, and if you'll look in the subtitle right above Genesis chapter 48, you'll probably see the word Jacob. Whew. Golly, that was quick. We just went through about 1,000 years of human history in about 2.5 minutes. So give yourself a pat on the back, and let's jump into Genesis chapter 48. Genesis chapter 48, skip down to verse 8. When Israel is another name for Jacob. So every time we see Israel, we can go ahead and substitute in Jacob. When Israel, or Jacob, saw Joseph's sons. Joseph was Jacob's son. So when Jacob saw his grandsons, he said, who are these? Jacob doesn't even recognize his own grandchildren. And you think, wow. I hope my grandpa would recognize me if I walked into the room. Jacob had been separated from Joseph. And if you want to go back and read about 3 chapters earlier, Jacob thought his son Joseph was dead. So when Joseph walked into the room with his grandchildren, Jacob obviously didn't know who they were. They had just been reunited according to God's plan in a very majestical way. And if you want to read about that, go about three chapters earlier. But let's keep going in verse 9. Joseph said to his father Jacob, "They are my sons, whom God has given me here." And Jacob said, "Bring them to me, please, that I may bless them." Jacob did not even realize he had grandchildren, but he wanted to bless them. This conversation would have went something like, "Hi, I'm your grandpa. I want to bless you." It's just as simple as that. It was as smooth a transition as that. It was an introduction, and then there was an immediate, "I want to bless you" type feeling. So first we can see Jacob's desire. That's our first point we want to make. Jacob's desire to bless his child Joseph and his grandchildren. Jacob had this desire that he wanted what was best for them. And let me tell you, church, God has the exact same desire for us. God has a desire to bless us. God has a desire to give us what we need. And similarly, we have the desire to receive the blessings of God. We have, and if you disagree with that, please raise your hand. But I think every one of us in here want and need the blessings of God. We wouldn't be here today without them. So just like Jacob is desiring to bless his child Joseph and his grandchildren, God has a desire to bless us. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible reads, "He," meaning Christ, "has blessed us with every spiritual blessing." Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 says that, "My God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in Christ Jesus." And let's not forget Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." God wants to bless us, and we have that same desire to receive the blessings. So that's our first point, Jacob's desire. But now we ask the question, how does God bless us? Well, He blesses us with the air we breathe. He blesses us with this beautiful building we have to worship in Him in. He blesses us with the presence of each other. But that wasn't His greatest blessing. Let's figure out what His greatest blessing is. Moving on to verse 10. Genesis chapter 48, verse 10. "Now the eyes of Israel, the eyes of Jacob, were dim with age, so that he could not see. So Joseph brought them near him, and he kissed them and embraced them." A beautiful picture. "And Jacob said to Joseph, 'I never expected to see your face, and behold, God has let me see your children also.' Then Joseph removed them from his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near him." And you're thinking, time out. I need a break. I don't understand what that verse just said. Well, I asked a couple of friends of mine to come up here and help me this morning. Erica and Ethan, would you come up here? So we just figured out, come on up, come on up. So we just figured out Jacob had a desire to give blessings, and that God has this same desire. And we start to wonder, what is God's desire to bless us? God desires to bless us how? Well, this is how. By His design. And I put it up there as Jehovah's design and His plan. He blesses us by His plan. And it's the exact same way here in this Old Testament passage. Just perfect. Stand just like that. Okay, so Joseph, I will be Joseph, and you guys will be Jacob. You are about to give the blessings onto your grandchildren here, Erica and Ethan. And as you can probably tell, Erica is older than Ethan, just like Manasseh and Ephraim. So when it says that Joseph took Ephraim the younger in his right hand towards your left hand, and Manasseh the older in Joseph's left hand towards your right hand, this is the picture it's making. I'm sending my children to you so that you can bless them. And you think, Luke, why does it matter where the children are? What does it matter what side the children are on? Well, blessings in the Bible, blessings back in this time were very, very important to the families. The blessing had to go to the older kid first. The older child was expected to carry out the family name. The older child was expected to carry out the family wealth. The older child was going to receive the majority of the inheritance, and his family was the one set to continue the generations. And so Jacob, as he is blessing his grandchildren, he must know where the older kid is, because this is similar to how the blessings would go. It would go like, Erica, I hope that you have wealth and that you have a great job one day and that your kids grow up to be strong, healthy individuals and that your family name goes out throughout the generations. That's how the blessing would go for the older kid. And then the younger kid, it would be like, Ethan, you too, buddy. That's very similar to how the blessings would go in the Old Testament. The older child was expected to receive the majority of the blessing. But let's keep reading. And Israel, Jacob, stretched out his right hand and laid it on the head of Ephraim, who was the younger, and his left hand on the head of Manasseh, crossing his hands, for Manasseh was the firstborn. So Jacob takes his right hand, the hand meant for the oldest child, and places it on the younger child, and his left hand meant for the younger child, and places it on the older child, crossing his hands. Thank you. You can have a seat. Thank you very much, Ethan. Y'all give them a round of applause. Thank you for being so helpful. They were really nervous when I asked them to come up here at first. I had to convince them that I wasn't going to make them talk. So Jacob crosses his hands to give the younger one the older kid's blessing. And you think, no, whoa, it's not supposed to work like this. If you look back at every blessing that was given before in the Old Testament through Genesis chapter 1 through 47, it was given to the older kid. And this is not how the blessings are supposed to go. This is not how it's supposed to go. So we get this Old Testament picture of someone getting what they don't deserve and someone not getting what they do deserve. Does that sound familiar? So let's paint another picture. You are seated where the throne of God is, and I am walking up to God. And who's the comparison? None other than Jesus Christ. The perfect, holy, sinless one. So as I walk side by side next to Jesus Christ to the throne of God, I'm thinking, this isn't going to go well. I don't even compare to this guy. He is holy. He is righteous. He is perfect. What has he done but tell the truth? What has he done but heal? And here I am. What have I done but screwed up? What have I done but disobeyed God? There's no comparison here to be made. So we walk up to the throne of God, and I'm expecting the worst. I'm expecting to get God's left hand. But what happens? God crosses his hands and gives Jesus the left hand of blessing. And we get the right hand of blessing. We get the right hand of blessing, the joy, the hope, the salvation, the peace, the eternal life that Jesus deserved. And Jesus gets the left hand of death. Jesus gets the left hand of suffering and of persecution that we deserved. Jesus takes that left hand and pours it out on Jesus so that we can get the right hand of hope, so that we can get the right hand of salvation and the right hand of eternal life. And let me tell you, that left hand had to go somewhere so that we could get the right hand. And the only person qualified to get the left hand was Jesus. He was the only person qualified. God himself had to take that so that we could get the right hand. So please write this down, etch this into your brain. And I'll say it a couple times. If you don't get anything out of this message, please get this. God had to treat Jesus like us so that he could treat us like Jesus. God had to treat Jesus like us so that he could treat us like Jesus. In other words, God had to put that left hand somewhere so that we could get the right hand. God had to send that left hand of punishment, of suffering, of death onto Jesus so that we could get the eternal life. You can't have one without the other. It doesn't work that way. If you think about it, back in the Old Testament, in the days of sacrifices, that sacrifice had to be made before the healing could come, before the forgiveness of sins could come. And it was the exact same way when Jesus had to die. He had to be the sacrifice so that we could receive the eternal life. It wasn't the other way around. But let's keep reading. The story's not over. So we've seen Jacob's desire. We've seen Jehovah's design, Jehovah's plan, and how God wants to bless us through that plan. And thirdly, we're going to look at Joseph's dissatisfaction. Let's look at verse 17. Genesis 48, verse 17. When Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, when he laid his right hand on the head of the younger, it displeased him. And he took his father's hand to move it from the younger to the older. And Joseph said to his father, "Not this way, my father. Not this way. Since this one is the firstborn, put your right hand on his head." Joseph is saying, "It's not fair. God, it's not fair. That's the older kid's blessing." Joseph is saying, "Jacob, uncross your arms. Dad, please. That's Manasseh's blessing, not Ephraim's. That's the older kid's blessing. He's the one to carry on the family name, not the younger. It's not supposed to work like this. It's not fair. It's not fair." And let me tell you something. Joseph's exactly right. It's not fair. It's not fair that the younger kid gets the older kid's blessing. And it's not fair that the older kid has to settle for the younger kid's blessing. It's not fair at all. But let's read Jacob's response. Verse 19. But his father refused and said, "I know, my son. I know. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. Nevertheless, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his offspring shall become a multitude of nations." So he blessed them that day, saying, "By you Jacob will pronounce blessings, saying, God make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh." Thus he put Ephraim the younger before Manasseh the older. So let's paint that same picture we were painting earlier. I am standing next to the comparison, Jesus Christ walking to the altar of the Lord. And as I see God start to cross his hands, what do I say? I say, "Not this way. Not this way, God. I don't deserve your right hand. Jesus does. Give him the eternal life. Give him the hope. Give him the salvation, because I don't deserve that. I deserve the death. I deserve the punishment because I have disobeyed you. Give me the left hand. I don't deserve the right hand. Jesus does." And I see God continue to cross his hands. And what does he say? "I know, my son. I know. I know you don't deserve the eternal life. I know you don't deserve the salvation. I know you don't deserve the hope and the joy and the peace. But I'm going to give it to you anyway. And I know that my own son doesn't deserve death. I know that my own son doesn't deserve punishment. I know that my own son doesn't deserve to suffer. But I'm going to give it to him anyway. And I'm going to give you the right hand." What an awesome picture. What an awesome picture of grace. In the New Testament, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, "For our sake, he made him sin who knew no sin. He took the left hand so that we could get the right hand." In Galatians 3 and 13, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us." And in 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6, "There is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for us." God crossed his arms despite our dissatisfaction, despite knowing that it's not fair, because it's not. He did it anyway. That's grace. That's grace. If you've never heard a definition of grace before, that's it. That is grace. I have no other way to put it to you than that, and there is no other way the Bible depicts it like that. God crossing his arms, giving us the right hand of blessing that we did not deserve, and giving Christ the left hand of blessing that we did deserve. And it wasn't really blessing at all. So to end, turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. A picture of grace like no other. Romans chapter 3, and we're going to start with the very famous verse 23. Romans 3 and 23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Meaning we all deserve God's left hand. We all deserve the punishment. We all deserve the death. And we all deserve to suffer. But are justified, verse 24, by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Jesus took the left hand so that we could get the right hand. He was the sacrifice. He was the only one that could qualify. And he got the job done. So that we could get the right hand of blessing. So you look at me and you say, wow, Luke, that's a pretty cool story. Pretty cool comparison. But Luke, how does that affect me? How does that affect me? How can I take what we have talked about today and apply that to my life? Well, first and foremost, if this grace is not something that you have accepted, that needs to be done today. Even though God has already bestowed us with that right hand of blessing, we have to accept it as a gift. It's not just automatic that we have gotten it because we are unworthy of receiving that gift. Unless we humble ourselves, admit that we have disobeyed God, and then we can accept it. This gift is not bestowed on everyone automatically. And you say, Luke, I've already done that. I've already accepted the gift. I've already received the right hand of God. And I would say, well, I bet you know someone that hasn't. This story of grace, this story of redemption, this story of sacrifice was meant to be shared. And what a more beautiful picture to share it. A story of a grandpa simply wanting to bless his grandchildren. And we can relate that to Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. That's awesome. That's something only the Word of God can do. So my prayer for us today is that this story of grace, this story of redemption, and this story of sacrifice will hit us where it hurts. And it will impact our lives and shake our lives and mold our lives. Because that's what it's really all about. That's what this season is all about. Please bow with me in prayer. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for giving Jesus the left hand so that we could get the right hand. Lord, I pray that if there is anyone in this room who has not freely accepted the right hand of your blessing, God, today is the day of salvation. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for accepting the left hand voluntarily so that we have the opportunity to receive the right hand. We love you, we praise you, we We thank you. We dedicate this time of closing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Stand with me this morning.